I can't just say I fucked all of them. I mean, because I haven't fucked all of them, but I've talked to a lot of guys.
She's come close, though.
You know what? Shut the fuck up.
I mean, damn. And welcome back to another episode of The Girls and the Gays.
All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of Dirty Blondes. This week, I have my good group of friends with me. We are going to do a question panel for all the questions that you guys submitted, and we're going to give you our opinions on everything. We have a very diverse group here, so it'll be very fun to hear everyone's answers. So first up...
Hi! You're stuck with me again. I'm sorry.
Yes.
It's your bitch, John, from the Butt Stuff series.
Ow.
So I thought it'd be a good idea to introduce like our age and our relationship status and our political status and our race. And just so you can get like the overall picture of
the
our
full feel of everyone.
So I'm 35 for another month. I'm long time married, extremely liberal, atheist. I'm white. I'm at Gingerella if you want to buy my feet pictures.
Are you really?
No, but I'm working on it.
I was like, wait, hold up. And can I get on that?
I'm my the gayest, so next.
Hi, my name is Kenya Mitchell, Kenya J. Mitchell on Instagram, so... You know, holla at your girl. I'm 33. I'm single. I would say I'm a liberal. Yeah. And religion. I'm Christian. Race black. and sexuality. I love penis.
Oh my god.
So
me too.
Straight.
Right to the point. Well, thank you for that introduction. I am Josue. Hi, how are you?
Hi.
I am 38. I am technically officially single, but that's all questionable in some sorts. I was raised conservative on the Republican side and then shifted to I wasn't sure, then went into Democratic, and I'm in between that and liberal. So my views have changed from one extreme to the other. Same with religion. I was also raised Catholic. I was raised in a very conservative household. Well, I went from that to atheist. And after not believing, then I found spirituality. When it comes to race, I would technically be considered white. And I'm like, bitch, I am not white. Like,
yeah.
My skin is not a color of a white person. So I am going to go with Hispanic, Latino, Latinx, sexuality, gay as they fucking come, bitches. So, yes.
Hi, I'm Angela. I'm 35. I'm married and I have two babies, a 4-year-old and a 1-year-old. I am liberal and proud of it. I am also Catholic. I am white.
She is white.
Like a wheat thin.
And I am straight.
Straight, married.
Straight married. Yes. Well, and you guys all know me, so I'm not gonna, you know.
Sluts.
I'm a slut and a cougar, so that's about it for me. All right, so you guys submitted a bunch of questions to us and we're gonna answer them. Since obviously we have a diverse background, it should be very fun. So the first question that one of the listeners submitted is, I'd love to hear your take on what you do when you really dislike a best friend's boyfriend due to many red flags, but your friend is only seeing him through rose-colored glasses.
I think you always have to be honest with your friends. I know that's what we value here in this group is honesty. I think you have to tell your friend the red flags if they don't see them. And then at the end of the day, if they want to decide that they still want to be with this person, regardless of what you're calling out to them, then you have to just let people live and they have to learn themselves.
Yeah. I do agree. I think honesty is the best policy. However, I think it's definitely a sticky situation that you put yourselves in when you have to basically tear down their rose-colored glasses. And I think sometimes we don't like people because they're similar to us, or we get jealous of the relationship that they're forming. And I just want to make sure that that is not the case.
Yeah.
But if it is, like, I'm a very direct person, most people that know me, and I'm the one that, like, will tell people.
Yeah.
I guess, like, my concerns or any behavior that I see. And, like, if you don't want to do it, you can hire me to do it. I'll do it for you. But... It doesn't always go well, but I would recommend maybe asking your friend open-ended questions. And when they respond, sometimes it allows them to hear themselves say things out loud, and it makes them realize the situation as well.
I think it's interesting to your point of the kind of like seeing yourself in that person, or the almost the jealousy side of things of like, I know I struggle with this with my friends of I'm too protective of them. Like, so if I see a friend that where they've been hurt in the past and someone's potentially hurting them in the same way, mm-hmm. I'm like, oh no, like I'm going to fuck this person up. You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to fuck with my friend. So I'm the extreme of that of like, no, you shouldn't date this person because I don't want you to get hurt again. So it's like, I'm overly protective.
And I would say I've been on both sides of the spectrum where I've had friends that you see the red flags and you know, you can tell them. And then you have an unexpected response and their reaction is like, what?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, there is one really good friend that I actually lost to this because I saw the writings on the wall and I tried to be as careful as I could with what I said and how I said it. But what I realized is, going back to John's point, asking open-ended questions and getting their perspective on it so that they can see it for themselves. And I really didn't do that at that point. I was very direct in a loving way, and he just didn't see it. Mm-hmm. And when it came down to the end of it, it was almost like he made a choice. Although I never was the one that asked him to make a choice, it was actually his partner that asked him to make a choice.
Oh, wow.
But because I had already voiced concerns, it made me already look like the bad guy.
Yeah. And that's such a common thing where it's like, you know, friends will ask for advice and then good friends will share their opinions or two cents about things. And then the person stays in that relationship, whether it's abusive, physically, emotionally, whatever the case is. And then you look like the bad guy. You know, it's very easy to turn it. Well, they just don't like that person or whatever. And it's very hard being that friend that you're giving the advice and, you know, and then being the bad friend, allegedly, because you're like, all right, you're not seeing this the way that I'm seeing this. Like, it's going to end badly. And it's, you know, it sucks. It sucks being in that position.
It also depends on how people take criticism. Because yes. Then I've had other friends where, like, you tell them and they respect you.
They still have
you,
the glasses on.
Yeah.
But they still respect your opinion, yes. Although they have the glasses on.
Right.
So they're listening and they still have their own point of view.
Right.
But they can listen to it. And in this scenario that I'm speaking of without names, mm-hmm. Now it's been several years. Mm-hmm. And this person is now taking off their glasses.
Right.
But I allowed them the space to go through their own journey and do their own realization. And now what I'm doing is just offering love and support versus right. saying, I told you so.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause some people just need that time to really be like, wow, I was fucking stupid. Right. And I've done it. I've talked about it openly on this podcast a million times. You know, I literally just had this conversation with my therapist a couple hours ago. I was like, I was a hot mess in relationships and I didn't see things the way that I see them now. Yeah. So it's, you know, hindsight is 2020. So it's definitely important.
Going off of Josue, I kind of have a similar situation now. And I've known her for years, but I've seen it where, like, she's so happy, so, like, in love. But in my head, I was like, okay, like, I'm going to play along. Like, if you're happy, I'm happy. You know, if you like it, I love it. But then when the conversation is all the time, like the lows and like the crying and all the mm-hmm. stuff, then I have to start pointing out and being like, well, it's because of X, Y, and Z.
Right.
And I can't be behind this because you're upset and you're sad and you're emotional and you're not living your best life. So then I have to say, like, this isn't healthy for you.
Right.
And I'm sorry. I love you and I love him, but I know you first. I've known you first, and I want what's best for you. So in that aspect, if that person is still has those glasses on, you kind of have to let them go and let them do what they want to do. And you have to take a back seat. And that's what I'm doing right now in a situation. And I'm from far away. I'm rooting you on. I'm cheering for you. But at the same time, I can't keep being like the punching bag or like the shoulder to cry on when it's been years.
Right. And you have to set those boundaries too, because one of the guys that I was dating, I relied so heavily on John and my friend Sam because I was just in a really, really bad place and it was horrible. And I was like, I came to a point where I was like, this isn't their responsibility.
Right.
Like, yes, they're my friends, but this isn't their responsibility to make sure I'm okay. I need to get actual professional help. This is something bigger than what my friends are responsible for giving me.
Right.
And that was a huge moment because I was like, wow, I'm inundating my friends with text messages and screenshots and all of these things. And I was like, this isn't fair to them because this isn't what they signed up for, right. You know, especially because I wasn't listening to their advice. So I was like, this is a much bigger thing. So I think if people ask for advice, that's a very different, like you have to be open to the advice that you get as well. It's exactly. Twofold, you know, so it's not just one-sided, but yeah, that's definitely a big part of it as well.
Sticky situation for sure. So good luck with that.
So question number two, I've only had sex once. I'm a male 22. I'm in good physical shape too. Advice to help bring my numbers up.
You're a unicorn.
Being a cougar, I'm just going to say that if you're good looking, then, you know, I mean, you probably have a chance of, you know, upping your numbers very easily going on a dating app. I would say that's probably the easiest way to do it.
Happened, so I'm thinking that they're probably
toying with the
not
idea.
Not the hottest.
Maybe, and that's okay. Well, then you better be fucking funny.
This one particularly, it just sounds very immature and entitled and like true bro complex. There's not even enough information to go off here, which is like probably how his dating profile looks like.
Probably,
if I can't get a sense of who you are in like 30 seconds, like it's no swipey swipey for me. Like it's not even a thing.
No, it's true, because on dating apps, it's like especially too, like I just said this in the last episode, I have like 1,400 matches on Bumble that I have not responded to.
Damn, girl.
I go through the guys and I'm just like, I'll look at like their first couple pictures and their bio. And if they're boring or ugly, I'm just like, all right, done. But like, there's guys that are just like not necessarily physically my type. A guy that I'm like, oh, like, I don't really know about this guy. But then his bio is funny as fuck, or his pictures really show that he's like a degenerate, like fucking
personality.
I'm like, oh, yeah. Like, fuck yeah. Like, let's do this, you know? Yeah. So for me, it's like, yeah, if you're not a 10 or a 7, 8, 9, 10, like if you're at that level of like maybe a 6 and below,
a 4.
Yeah.
You like sound like a 4.
But if you're funny and you're going to laugh my pants right off, like I'm down. I'm down.
He also might be a creep and a stage 5 clinger type.
100%.
Like or trying too hard, like you're doing too much.
Or the nice guy thing of like, oh, well, I'm a nice guy. No girls like nice guys. Yeah. If you have to say you're a nice guy,
you're not.
Bye.
But can I say, like, even if this whole scenario is true, which is hypothetically, confidence is key. So that's the number one. If you're on dating apps, if you're not, if you're a 10, if you're a 3.5, like whatever you are, confidence is key.
And 100%.
Like Stephanie said, if you have a good personality, if you like the funniest guys are so attractive.
Yeah.
So that
laugh you just my ha- pants off.
You just have like, to you have to care yourself and you have to say, okay, like, all right, like I think I'm attractive, then other people are gonna think I'm attractive.
Well, also as a cougar, like the amount of guys that I have talked to and hooked up with that are not confident in themselves.
Right.
That's the biggest turnoff.
I would say that with your question. So the first thing is it's a quantitative question and not qualitative. And your first response or first question is around how to get the numbers up. And that's what you're interested in. So that already shows me you're immature. So you're definitely not going to get fucked by me. The second part is, well, you're looking for quantity, but your question is one of, it's such a basic question.
Vague.
That you're not providing context, you're not providing any quality for us to be able to give you some advice. So notice how we just read your ass for filth right now.
I know. We created
this whole profile for you, right? And I would want to say to you, this should give you some self-awareness.
Right.
Because you are so vague and you're not showing who you are to the world. The world is deciding who you are for you.
Yeah. You can't tell people who you are. You have to show them. Like, that there's just two totally different things. And so, like, to recommend something, like, we all have to market ourselves and sell ourselves the best we can when we're going through these apps and dating. And
you need to find out,
you know, where your marketing campaign's not working. Mm-hmm. And you need to make tweaks. And you really need to sell to the audience that you're trying to reach. And if you're trying to reach tens, then you really need to figure out how to reach tens and not how to reach out to people doing podcasts.
And to what Ho-Ho said, it's like, stop thinking about getting your numbers up and just focus on making real connections with people.
Correct.
Or something.
On a date. Try to get a date first.
And maybe that'll get you somewhere instead of just saying, I need to fuck a bunch of people. Why don't you just try to actually
talk to a female.
Fuck a few good people. That's way better.
Right.
Well, exactly.
And the thing is, if you're trying to just fuck people, there's so many people you could literally just fuck.
All right. The next question is, I'm in a long-term relationship and I've never had just a blowjob. Plenty of them as part of foreplay or sex. Is there a right way to ask for just an afternoon blowjob?
Okay. I guess I'll start, because I think what it comes down to is communication and what kind of relationship you actually have with your partner. And, you know, if you have that good of communication, you should be able to say what you want. And it's
he doesn't.
Right. Exactly. So I think the root of the problem, it seems like we need to find our common ground to communicate what our desires are. And I think the other part of that is, and this is me just maybe projecting on what I don't know. From this question.
Heterosexual couples?
Yes.
100%. But the idea of, are you a kind of partner that reciprocates? So sometimes by what you're asking for.
Bingo.
Is you actually sometimes you do it. So if you're wanting an afternoon BJ, maybe offer her an afternoon lick down section and don't even ask. Just go for it. Sit her down, you know, push her, do whatever you gotta do.
Well, so here's the thing.
Consent with the push though.
Always consent. Here's the thing with a lot of straight guys, if you're not in a longer term relationship, I've done this before with guys where I'm like, oh, I have my period. And if they're not into period sex, they'll sit there and be like, oh, well, you can still give me a blowjob. And I'm like, yeah, I can. But if I'm not, what about me? Like, if I'm not getting something in return, especially if we're earlier on, you know, like, I'm just like, well, fuck yourself. Like, get a fleshlight, use your hand. Like, I don't give a fuck. And I call guys out all the time and they're like, well, your mouth still works. I'm like, yeah, it also talks a lot of fucking shit too. So, you know, here we are.
That's what not to do to get an afternoon BJ. Right. Don't make any of those comments that Steph just said, because nobody wants to hear that shit.
So I've heard from a few hetero couples, and I want to ask the three straights here. Like, oral sex, it kind of dissipates after time, like it goes away after a little bit, and it becomes like infrequent because you're having penetrative sex regularly, and then it's basically a special occasion or a special gift at that point. Is that true?
Not for me.
I don't think so.
No?
Not for me.
Yes.
All right.
From the married lady.
I got the married one. The married
yes.
One.
Yes.
Well, to jump but. Off like Josue's point, communication 1000% is key. And for like a long-term relationship, I think a simple, I would like to have more oral sex.
Right.
Yeah. You don't even have to like initiate it. You just have to like start the conversation. Mm-hmm. about doing it, correct. And it is kind of odd, and you should be reciprocating, and if you're not, you should probably be single because you suck. Like,
right. I mean, it's just 50-50. Like, it is what it is. I mean, I've been in situations before where guys are like, oh, but you're so good at it. And I just roll my eyes at it because I'm like, come on.
You're like, I'm good at a lot of fucking things. It doesn't mean I'm going to fucking suck your dick every time you
want. Exactly. It's like A for effort. It's just put in the work, put in the time. Like, if you want to get off, so do I. Like, we're two adults, so let's just have fun, be protected, and keep it moving.
What's interesting is that in my previous relationships, it's actually been the same thing. The oral has dissipated.
Really?
And it goes right into just the penetration.
That has not been my experience.
Oh, and see, and this has been all my relationships almost. And also even with like steady hookups. That is not necessarily a relationship, but it's someone that you built a comfort with. Mm-hmm. So this is the first time actually that your question brought me that awareness, because I'm like, oh, so is that like a male thing where like we're like just aiming for the goal?
I think every sexual encounter you have is situational. Like whether you're in a relationship or it's a one night stand or it's a fuck buddy or whatever the case is, it's all situational because everyone has different perspectives. But I know for myself, with the younger guys that I hook up with, I try to teach them like, that's not okay. Like, I'm just like, this is my duty as an older woman.
Yes, you're to doing be a service for sure.
Yeah,
community service.
Like, they did say they were in a long-term relationship, so
they did.
They need to work on their communication.
They do.
Yeah.
That's like what it really 100%. Comes down to. Number four, how do I gently tell a girl I'm not interested? I used to hook up with a girl. She was already on the heavier side then. She's recently been sending me snaps hinting she wants to hook up. She has low self-esteem and she wants attention, but she's even heavier than she was before. She eats too much and doesn't exercise. I'm not into it. Should I? A. There's multiple choice. Should I? A. Just ignore her. B. Say I'm not interested anymore. How to put it in a way that won't wreck her. C. Say if she can commit to being healthier, I might be interested later.
I'm going to go with D, which is other, and I'm going to fill in some
douche.
First of all, you better have like cheese grater abs if you're making this comment. Like, I better be able to shred some cheddar, and you better be like the hottest dude I've ever seen in my life. Second of all, I hope she stops sending your selfish, shitty ass snaps because you don't deserve them, regardless of her size. You sound like a piece of shit, and you should just like tell her you don't want to talk to her anymore and do her the favor because you're an asshole.
And my question to this caller, writer, whatever the fuck you are, is, have you watched the movie Shallow Hal? And if you haven't, you probably should. And you're probably in a stage of your life where it's all about the physicality. And you know what? That's okay. That's cute. That's going to catch up with you soon because so does karma. And, you know, you're the kind of person that, I'm sorry to say, one day something may happen to you physically. Mm-hmm. And you're going to learn your lesson around that when you no longer have those six-pack abs, when you no longer have that beautiful jawline, when you no longer have the girls and guys wooing over you. And you're going to have to look deep down in your fucking soul and figure out who you are and have people look at you for your inner being.
And what you're talking about is physical stuff. You're not even talking about actual physical disabilities that can't be corrected. You know
Correct.
What I mean? Like, you're talking about stuff like, if someone's fat, yeah, they can lose weight. But do they need to be with you? No. But if someone's in a wheelchair, what, like, if you're married to someone or marry someone who ends up having a stroke or whatever the case is, there's so many other things to physical looks and abilities of people. Like, that's a whole different thing that people can't control.
Physicality is just such a small part of the entire spectrum of romance, love, intimacy, relationships. But with this mindset, with this mentality, dude, like, we all hate you right now.
Yeah. It's just like countering off of everyone saying, grow the fuck up. Like, grow up, grow some balls. if you're not Michael B. Jordan, Brad Pitt, like I just, like, I just don't get it. And
even if you were, like, they don't do that.
Fuck off, 100%. Exactly. That's true. But then also get some confidence to tell her point blank period, I'm not into you.
Right.
I'm just not that into you. Like, let's move on. Let's just be friends. Let's dead it.
Right.
Can I also say, if you do even have a friendship with this person and you genuinely think that she has low self-esteem and she's unhealthy, why don't you try to help her? Why don't you try to talk to her about it and tell her, you know, hey, why don't we talk about this? I'll work out with you. I'll do this with you.
Let's go take a class together.
Right. Like, there's, you know, if you had any type of care for this person, rather than bash her for the fact that you think she's unmotivated and whatever, you could actually, like, help her out and maybe help change her life a little bit and make her healthier instead of being a dick.
And in the process, it'll probably help you out, motherfucker.
I think that, like, I just want to, like, offer some advice for this, because some people, I think, who are not this person.
right. No, yeah.
Just to give, like, you a line or something that you might be reaching for is something like, you have so much to offer, but I don't feel we're a great fit for each other, or I don't feel like things will work out long term with us. Like, if they're a nice person, just be fucking polite and treat people with respect. That's all.
Respect.
Well, 100%. Especially too, because this person said that they hooked up with this person before, so
she's sending him snaps. So you know what that means.
And option A is just ignore her. If you fucked someone, ghosting, I don't think that's okay.
No,
that's not, like, cool.
There's plenty of guys. I have this one guy who's literally talking to himself in my text messages for like 6 days, and we've never met. Okay, so I'm just, like, letting the text messages go because I'm just, like, I'm not dealing with this shit. But if I had fucked him, like, yeah, I'd be like, you know what? This is not working. Like, this is not going to work. And that's fine. I've had to send so many of those text messages to guys, whether I fucked them or not. It could have just been as simple as a date of just, like, you know what? I met you in person. This isn't working out. Or I don't feel a chemistry with you. Whatever the case is, it doesn't matter. But if you used to fuck this girl, yeah, you should definitely not just ignore her. You just need to come clean with her.
Be respectful.
And say, you know, like, it's not working. Like, I'm not into this. I even make up a lie. I don't care. It could be like, you know what? I'm not ready to date right now. Like, you're not the right person to date, or I'm
working on myself.
Right. And that's fine. At least there's some type of closure and she'll stop fucking sending you the messages. Like, that's it. Like, but when you get to the point of, like, meeting and fucking, you have to address it. You can't just ghost someone. People do all the time, but it's not right. You know, so. All right. So the next question is, what do you think about asking women to video chat before the first in-person date? I've been having mixed reactions. Some women are fine having a video chat first, but some just ghost after I ask them for a video chat. I thought video chatting is a normal thing this day and age. Or is it to be avoided before the first date in person?
I had experience with this. Because of obviously the pandemic. So I was hoard on the social webs, the interwebs of dating. And I had multiple guys be like, oh, let's video chat. You know, it was like the norm in 2020, 2021.
Yeah.
And then I had this one guy who was like randomly video chatting me, just like not even telling me, like, oh, I'm going to video chat you. Like, oh, let's get ready. Like, let's have a date. He would just, like, call me, like, FaceTime me in the middle of the day. I'm sorry. No, decline. So you have to set boundaries. You have to communicate. You have to tell the person, like, hey, I want a video chat.
Yes,
I feel like
set a date.
Yes, you have to set a date. Chat. You have to be like, hey, you know, I think this is going, you know, pretty well. And I want to, you know, take more steps. I want to get to know you. Let's video chat. What's a good time for you? I feel like that's the norm now, but I think, yes, video chatting is 100% regular, normal, but just set a date and don't be a creeper and don't call FaceTime women in the middle of the day.
I agree. I think if you're going to do it, like, I prefer FaceTime dates versus a first date, right, honestly, because I don't want to spend the time.
The time and the effort.
Right. I don't want to spend the time and the effort to put makeup on, get an outfit right, ready, and go out with someone. I'm sorry,
gas prices.
Right, yeah. That's a new thing. Yes. So, yeah, like, I'm not trying to do all of that to have a mediocre date. Mm-hmm. So, if someone wants to FaceTime with me, like, I'll set a time with them. But right. I think the problem is with... I've had guys in the past message me. I had this one guy. I had a chemical peel. Mm-hmm. I was in the process.
Samantha Jones, Sex and the City. Literally. Episode.
My face was peeling off. And he was like, this was like months ago. And he was like, can we FaceTime? And I'm like, no.
Absolutely not.
Immediately no. And he was like, why not? And I was right. like, because my face is peeling off. I look
no
like
means
a fucking
no.
psycho.
No
like,
means no. Some they don't get it.
Right.
Sometimes they don't get it.
And it's like realistically too. And
well,
to
they're
play
trying to gotcha. They're trying to be like, see, you're not who you are in your pictures and blah, 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 blah.
Right. And a chemical peel though. And I you know me, I sit here on this podcast and I will sit there and I will not defend my own. Like, sorry, ladies, if you're going to sit there and put yourself on your dating apps of full filtered, full catfish
the
makeup,
blur.
All the bullshit, like, I'm not saying you can't wear makeup on a dating app, but if you're doing the full filters with the fucking lip injection looking shit, or I get lip injections. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but the ones
be
that
realistic.
Make it look bigger and the ones that make your pores go away and all of those things, if you're doing that and then you can't FaceTime with someone, fuck yourself. You shouldn't be on a dating app. If you don't have the confidence to do it, you shouldn't be on a dating app, you know? So I literally put pictures on my profile of me with no makeup on because I'm just like, all right, like this, like they're going to see me like this.
No, keep it real. Keep it G.
Like 90% of the time because I only wear makeup to work or if I'm going out somewhere. Like a date. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So when they wake up to me in the morning, I'm sure as shit not going to look that way. So like they need to see what I look like in the morning.
Right.
Can we get the male perspective?
I think if you're using it as a filter to figure out if this is the person that you want to date, that's one thing. I will say though, so when you think about the first impressions and how they're formed, previous research has shown it takes 20 to 30 seconds to form a first impression. And John, you said this earlier. You said the 20-second mark, yes, which was, if you cannot capture my attention, correct, right? In those
then
first 20, 30 seconds, I'm not
we're
swiping.
We're going the other way. Bye.
Right? And so the norm has been 20, 30 seconds to form that opinion.
Because everyone off, has fucking ADHD now. So.
Well,
right.
So here's the interesting
wow.
thing,
that's
right?
A huge thing.
Right.
Yeah.
So so that research shows that 7% is coming from verbal expression, what you're actually saying. But 38% of that is showing how you're saying it and the tone of your voice. So I can be like, you're a fucking cunt. That's my verbal expression. Right. But my tone could be like, you're a fucking cunt.
Bitch.
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 Right? And that's the difference in like what the verbal expression is only 7%. It's not that big, right? 38% becomes more from that tonality. How you're expressing yourself. But then 55% of it is showing that it's around your appearance and your body language. The newest research is showing that it only takes 7 seconds to form a first impression. 7 fucking seconds. We went from 30 seconds to like and now forming an opinion in 7 seconds. So yeah. That just shows you the influence of
and can
social...
I just say also the 7 seconds. I'm sorry to cut you off. But
I mean,
I mean, really. But that 7 seconds, is it a gay 7 seconds or is it a straight 7 seconds? Because you know, I've seen it in the gay hood, and I've seen it
so
here.
No, this still have 30 seconds.
Thank you.
No. So this research is showing across
the spectrum.
Why? Because what's happening is the influence around social media.
Yeah. No. 100%.
Instagram, TikTok, that you swipe left and right on Tinder, all these apps, you're kind of just going through instant gratification. So now our brains are moving quicker. Our impressions are moving quicker, right? And I would say from a personal stance, I actually got off of dating apps from a while ago.
Yeah.
And the reason I did that was because why? So when you have a profile, and as you're creating your own profile, what are you doing? You're putting some of your best pictures.
So I think when there's someone that's out there looking for that immediate FaceTime call, although I agree with you guys, it's not cool. Like, I think you need to set a time, you need to set a date, you need to say like, but I think at the same token, maybe a part of them has been burned around not having authentic people and authentic profiles and authentic experiences. And that was my experience. I saw so many photos of so many guys on these dating apps. You know, literally there was one time where there was this guy that asked me on this date. We went to a restaurant. He said, meet me here. I'll be at the bar. I literally walked by him 5 times because I did not recognize him. And I literally asked him and I said, why did you post that photo on your profile?
From 1992.
In parentheses. And he said to me, oh, because it's one of my favorite photos. Yeah, and I said, well, you know, it literally looks nothing like you right now.
So I think we're all in agreement that you just need to set a time to schedule, and that's fine. And we're just verifying you are who you are. All right. Number 6 for casual dating. How do you deal with people who cancel plans or send mixed messages? I'm a person who follows through on plans unless there's something I can't really control, illness, etc. I have noticed that some people are incredibly self-absorbed and cancel last minute or expect you to put in most of the energy, like traveling to them. These are people who I have met and we seem to enjoy each other's company, and they talk about wanting to connect or go on a date, saying how they enjoy spending time with you. I realize that actions speak louder than words. I'm finding it hard to balance showing interest versus investing more than the other person. Often they are pretty nonchalant about canceling. So my question is, when they cancel last minute, do you say anything about it or do you just let it be and just cut off contact? It's frustrating, and obviously making a big deal about it isn't worth it, but I'm a big believer in communicating, so I'm never sure whether to address it or just make a mental note that it's just not worth planning any more dates with them.
So here's my thing. When I was in my 20s and I was fucked up with guys and I was the same way. I was very good about plans and making time for people and whatever. I would follow up with guys. Like, if they had set a date up with me and they were like, oh, we're going to go to this place or we're going to meet up at this time, whatever, whatever the case was, I would be like, all right, like, is the date still happening? And then obviously I would find out that I was ghosted. Now, my whole mindset is, if you're saying to me, yes, I want to make plans with you for this day, this time, whatever it is, then it's your responsibility to follow up with me.
I completely agree with that. And they do mention casual dating and, you know, people last minute canceling plans for me is like so triggering. I just think like you need to do what you're supposed to, like what you say you're going to do.
Right.
So it just, it annoys me to no end.
I think with those situations though, it's people that are just like, it's a back burner situation where it's like, they're not fully interested, and that's fine. Like to me, I'd rather not go on a date with someone who's half interested or not interested, you know? So it's like, yes, my mindset in my 20s would have been very different of like, wow, like, what did I do wrong? Like, why didn't this person want to go on a date with me? Now I'm just like, all right, well, it's fucking for the best because they didn't like something I said or did or whatever.
Right.
And, you know, for now, I'm just like, all right, in my 30s, yeah, if you don't want to fucking go on a date with me, bless you, because now I don't have to fucking put on the makeup and the fucking figure out the outfit and all that shit.
Especially when it's casual and it's like, if you don't do what you're going to say, like if you're wasting my time, it's done.
Right.
And for people casually dating and they don't get people showing up to their dates or committing to things, like, or they're saying mixed messages, like a mixed message is a whole ass message in itself. Like, you shouldn't be sorting out if somebody likes you or is interested in you when you first meet them.
Like the good sis says, Maxine Waters, reclaiming my time. I'm reclaiming my time. Like, give me at least 24 hours.
Right.
Like, be respectful. If you're in the middle of a busy schedule, you have stuff going on. I mean, we all are adults here. We all have jobs. I get it. If you're like, oh, I can't do it, let's push it back till tomorrow. I get it. Just in that instance, text me or call me and notify me saying it's not going to work out. Let's try to schedule it for a different time. That's all you have to do. Be respectful.
It also says a lot about the other person and how they're going to understand your point of view and your perspective and where you're at. Mm-hmm. And do they have the ability for patience, the ability to understand, you know? And I've had instances where, you know, the two parties have different lives and both are busy, but there's interests. If you continue to communicate and you're able to be respectful and you're able to say, you know what, thanks again for reaching out. Like, it's just not working out. Like, we're going to figure out a time. I think that actually says so much more.
So much. Right.
So much from the beginning of what that could potentially become.
And then you're like anticipating. You're like, oh, okay. Like, we're going to meet 3 weeks from now or three days from now, whatever. And you're like,
3 weeks. That might be the case.
Right.
And you know what? Like, this is, I think, what is key to what makes long distance relationships work.
Right.
Setting an expectation, agreeing on it, and then committing to it and following through.
100%.
You get a snap and a twist and a kiss.
And a period.
Period. Number 7. How do you handle finances with a partner who makes significantly more than you do? I currently make $35,000 a year and my boyfriend makes $90,000 a year. I know a lot of people go by contributing to the percentage of what they make. However, when the salary difference is much more significant, is that sort of arrangement fair considering the person that makes more money may want to live in a nicer apartment, go on more costly vacations, etc.? In addition to bills, if the man pays on most dates, do you factor that in also? Curious as to how everyone handles their situation.
This is an excellent question. I feel like financial literacy is very important and something that I'm very passionate about, but I'll let somebody else go first.
So my husband and I, the way we do it, he makes more money than I do. He has the bills that are like a bigger chunk come out of his account, and I still will send him money to contribute to them. And then I pay our electric bill, I pay those bills, and I also buy all the groceries. So we kind of even it out based on, you know, the different things we pay for. Honestly, we also like don't go tit for tat on who spent more money on what. Like, we don't have a joint bank account either, but it's all the same. Like, my husband always says, like, it's all the same. It doesn't really matter who it's coming from. It's all the same. So, I mean, it works fine for us the way we do it. We have an expectation of who pays for what, so nobody is, you know, not paying a bill or wondering where something's coming from. I think you also have to have, always, though, we're going to go back to this, the communication thing. Like, you have to have communication with the person that you're with.
Yes.
If you guys are together, they know they make more money than you. To your question about, like, you know, if they want to live a nicer lifestyle or a nicer apartment, then they have to understand that they may be paying more to contribute to that than you can afford. It's all about communication.
Well, and realistically, too, it's like before you get married, like, you should have those conversations about, like, okay, well, here's where I am financially. And, you know, obviously it's going to progress as you age, you know, like your finances, like your income and everything progresses. But that's definitely a conversation, too, that you should have, you know, even prior to kids and everything, of just like, all right, well, this is what I'm making. This is what you're making. Like, we're approaching getting married. Where are we going to go from here? You know, not just like, oh, here's a ring. We're getting engaged, or, you know, we're going to get married and, like, we're going to figure it out afterwards. Like, that's a very big conversation you should have prior to the, like, acceptance of the proposal, in my opinion. But
I think also the question has the basis of gender traditionality, where the man and the woman and what the guy should do and the woman should and shouldn't do. And this is a perfect moment where I invite everyone to become a gay man.
Yeah.
Because when you are looking at it from the gay world, although we do have tops and bottoms, we do have alphas and betas, we do have passive and aggressive.
Everything's equal.
But at the same token, you have the ability to question equality, what is normal and what is not normal, because we don't have a normal. And so now you're setting up a whole brand new set of rules and standards. And when you question that, you know, you can make your own set of guidelines. You don't have to follow what is traditional, what everyone says, what you should do. I mean, what the fuck is wrong with a woman making more money than a guy?
Right.
Nothing. Preach. Only when we are set in those stones, when we set up in those boxes that we say it's not okay. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think being a gay man, I do date older guys, like I said earlier. And I've actually have been out in instances where I make more money than the older man. And sometimes that makes them uncomfortable. Why? Because they're setting to those normalities of what is and what shouldn't be and where they should be and where I should be, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. When you release all those expectations and you put it all on the table and say, what should we do? What's right for us? You know what? No one can fuck with that. No one can change that. Only you two can make that agreement. Yeah. And that is no one else's business but your own.
I am all for financial literacy, and I love budgets, and I love numbers. And it's weird because I'm a creative person, but I love this stuff. So when my husband and I first lived together, we had a very large age gap, and that meant we had a very large pay gap. So as your question stated, we sorted it out by paying percentages, but I was only able to do that once I budgeted for myself and knew exactly what I could spend. So by knowing that, I was very confident in saying that I can only afford X dollars a month for rent. If you want to pay more to live in a fancier apartment or whatever, I'm still only able to contribute X dollars a month in rent. It doesn't change. So, and it's the same thing if they want to take a fancy vacation or something. Like, this is the money I have. I don't just make more money. Like, it's just not there. Yeah. So, the best advice that I can give is for you to be financially aware and responsible for your income and expenses. When I was younger, my husband paid for most of our dates. And when I was younger, I would pay for things when I could. And that's just how it was. And it wasn't weird. I think that was just expected because obviously that's what we were making. So as I started making more money, we adjusted our shared expenses percent, and the percentages went up until they were eventually even because I was making more finally as I got older. But also, I feel like money can be like such a source of fights and frustration in relationships, and it really shouldn't be. So my next biggest advice would be for everyone listening is to keep your finances completely separate. And I know you said you have yours, but...
No, ours are separate.
Oh, okay, yes. Yeah. So keep it separate. There's no freaking reason you need to see that your person spent $40 at Taco Bell the other night, because I mentioned Taco Bell every night. So have a joint account for your bills. Like, you each have your own accounts, and you then deposit into a joint account, and you can also have a joint savings and investing account, and otherwise your income and spending should be on your own, and nobody needs to know what things are spent on, and everybody should be in control of their finances. That's my take.
John, that is such great advice. And you know, I'm the statistics guy when it comes to some things. And I will say some things, you know, numbers do matter, just like inches or European centimeters, right? Statistics do show that the number one reason that couples fight, regardless of their sexual orientation.
Irregardless.
Finances.
Yeah.
And it's not the actual amount that they make. It's the communication or the lack of communication and the lack of agreements that were said forth. And so what John just said is just, it's so perfect because you are communicating with your partner I know. What you can and cannot afford, where you are at in your life, and you're expecting the same thing from your partner to say, this is where I'm at. And you know what? If that money maker is saying, okay, honey, no worries, I'm going to take you. Good, fine. But at least you're being transparent. If that moneymaker is saying, well, okay, I see where you're at. Okay, we'll figure it out. You're giving them the fair chance and opportunity to make those choices for themselves and for their relationship.
What he said on that moneymaker, if he's saying, no, boo, I got it. I've witnessed this in college. If he's saying, I got it, he let him get it, but still have a savings of your own. Have a little rainy day fun, because you never know what's going to happen in the end of the day, the end of the road, if you guys are going to be together in 1 year, 5 years, whatever. So let him, if you're a single girl, hi, how are you? I'm one of you. If you're a single girl and you're on your first date and he's like, oh no, I got it. Let him do that. Like, you know, I know we're in 2022, but 50-50 is great. But if they want to flex, let them flex. But always have you. My mom has always instilled in me and my grandmother, like, always have your own. And that, again, goes with the having separate accounts.
Number 8, my partner wants an open relationship. Should he have told me sooner? My partner told me this week that he doesn't think monogamy is for him and wants to know how I would feel about an open relationship. He says, the world is opening up again, and I don't think I can stay monogamous. We've been together almost 2 years, and this has never come up before. When I ask him about his past experiences with non-monogamy, it turns out much of his dating history was in open relationships. This seems like a significant part of someone's relationship history, and I think it should have been disclosed, just like you would tell someone if you were divorced, etc. I am not fundamentally opposed or judgmental of open relationships. That said, I personally have no desire to have multiple boyfriends. I don't have an emotional or physical need for it. So if we did this, it would essentially be one-sided. I'm going to suggest that we take some time apart while I process my thoughts and decide if I want to continue. Interested to know what others think about the glaring omission that he has spent much of his adulthood in open relationships. I feel like he should have shared this far sooner, as it seems like part of who he is, not something he just discovered.
I think this is a two-part, at least, answer, if not multiple layers. So, I would say the first part is around honesty and transparency. And so what's interesting is that we all went through COVID, and we all went through this whole experience of, like, we had to be locked down and we didn't know what was going to happen. We didn't know what the future held. For some people, this could have been the end of the world, right? If you watch too many zombie movies, you are like, this is doomsday. We're done. We're fucked. That's it. And so for someone like him, who may have omitted this information, you know, he's making the best out of this world and of this fantasy and what he knows right now. Is it fair that he did not tell you that he was in open relationships in the past? Absolutely not. That is not okay.
Well, I completely agree with you. And I believe monogamy is a very heteronormative concept that's been forced upon us since we were kids. And it's heavily based in religious values, whether like Christian values, honestly. And as a gay man, I'm already defying the social norms of what a relationship should be. And it's just browbeaten into society how it needs to be. And I'm just tired of it, to be perfectly honest. So there is no one right way to have a relationship.
Right. And
I can state that several times.
It wasn't until like my late 30s, and I'm only 38, that I had the ability to question all of these things for myself. And I started to step out of those norms from being traditional. And my really, really, really close friends from like childhood will always make this joke, because they know that before I would always say, oh my God, he's the one. Mm. I would meet somebody, and because I had that traditional mindset of like, you meet someone, you have to be loyal, you have to be their boyfriend, you have to like be with them every step of the way, you have to be committed.
Right.
And that's always how I functioned. And it's not until now that I'm actually questioning myself to say, well, I am not going to function in that manner, which is what I'm used to. Now I'm looking at it as, well, let's find out who this person is. Mm-hmm. Let's discover. Let's find out who you are. Let's find out where you are in this place. Where am I at in this time in my life? What am I looking for? Mm-hmm. And it's okay if I'm not looking for a full-on committed relationship. And I will say, oh my God, I'm going to say this on live air, and you can leave
live.
This. Well, you live. Can leave it. Okay. So I'm going to say this Regis on the podcast, and I guess you don't have to delete it, but I'm dating multiple people.
As you should.
As you should.
You're single.
And this is the thing too. You are comfortable
in your
shoes and your skin and whatever. And that's what I feel like comes back to the question.
You know your truth, ho ho.
Thank you. You know your truth. You believe you're in truth. You are your truth. But it's back to the question. You have to understand. And she did, or he or she did say at the end, like, I'm going to take a step back. So you right there know, like, okay, this is not for me right now. Mm-hmm. And maybe this is for that person, but for me, I can't. And again, I like this person. I love this person, whatever relationship maybe, but you have to be comfortable with what you like, what you love.
I think that if you are not into an open relationship, then do not be in an open relationship.
100%.
I think that if this man did not tell you initially that he was into open relationships, I'm not necessarily taking his side or not, but he may not have realized that his past was full of open relationships. He may just never felt 100% committed to one person and dated mm-hmm. a bunch of people bouncing around. And it may not have, you know, occurred to him that it was open relationships. So he wasn't necessarily not telling you. I mean, he could have very well not been telling you, but he wasn't necessarily. He may just not have realized. But like I said, I think if it's not for you, then it's not for you. And that's something that you have to say. You have to say that, you know, this is not going to work out for me. And you go take your journey and mm-hmm. do what you need to do.
I agree with you. And the point of her making of, she says, so he might have not have known. And then the point of her saying of having a bunch of boyfriends, to me, that's kind of a blanket statement and just one possibility of having an open or polyamorous relationship. And mm-hmm. Maybe you just have one other person in your life that fulfills a current need that your partner doesn't. And that's being open. It's still being open, but it's definitely not for everyone. So if you're not interested, don't settle or feel forced into doing
Correct.
It. I would personally try to move on because that's what your partner expressed and what they need and
what they want.
Right. And if that's not something that you want, then I mean you're mismatched and mm-hmm. it's just not a good situation.
The puzzle is not fitting.
Right, exactly.
Right.
And he's not gonna wanna stop wanting that just because you don't.
He's going to might say, okay, yeah, it's fine, and then sneak around. And then that's a whole nother
thing.
Right. And that's exactly that's a whole different thing.
Well, I think if she is interested in moving forward or trying, because she says she's not judging or against it, maybe it's just an ignorance because somebody very close to me in my life actually was involved with an open relationship. She was single, but she was with a husband of a married open relationship.
Oh, wow.
And they had a whole arrangement. Mm. And the most successful ones that I've seen, they have very open lines of communication. They trust each other completely. And they generally genuinely want their partner to be the most fulfilled that they
happy.
Can, yes, exactly. That they can be. And I feel like most monogamous relationships can't even hold a candle to that. Like they can't even, they're not close to that at all to fulfill that. And
100%.
Right. And I see it mostly with couples that are mismatched sexually, like very high and low sex drives, or people that have been together for a very long time, or people who have different love language fulfillments seeking these things out.
Well, I think it's very well said what you just said. You're talking about matching and mismatching, and it comes to values. It comes to being traditional all the way to being liberal and where your mindset is at. And also throughout relationships, they evolve, you know, and that sometimes is what the complexities like. As your relationship evolves, are you keeping up with your partner? Is your partner keeping up with you? Are you staying in tune with each other? Mm-hmm. And I will add something in there around the questions, right? So I said earlier, like, I've had the ability to question everything. And one thing I tell people, which is where I'm at right now, is, well, I have friends that I call for really good advice. I have friends that I call for going out. I have friends that I call for going out to dinner.
A lot of friends.
I have friends that I do have a lot of friends. I have friends that I'll speak to about spiritual things. I'll have friends that I speak to specifically about career advice. If you are ever so lucky in your life to find one person that can fill all those buckets in your life, you know what? Good for you.
Right.
And I'm not, because I came from a traditional background, I actually do hope and wish that for myself one day. But in my experience, I realized it's not necessarily 100% reality. That's what has made me question all these things. So when I'm finding who fulfills all those buckets, maybe I'm not finding in one person. Is it okay for me to have multiple people to fulfill those buckets so that I can find my happiness? That's the next question in life.
Just be comfortable in who you are and what you want. Communication is key. I feel like we've said that for every single question in this segment, and don't do anything that down the road, you're like, oh shit, oh, should I have or whatever? Like, don't get bullied into something. Be comfortable with what you want, what you like. And I mean, end of the day, you have to go to bed, wake up, live with yourself.
Right.
I don't know how else to phrase that.
I feel like it's also important to be open to new.
No, it's also it's very open. Yeah. It's very
learn
it's,
things.
No,
do
of course,
things.
Of course. We all want to be a magic school bus right now.
You have to.
The reading rainbow.
Yeah, reading rainbow.
I can do anything.
It's too much wine. It's too much wine.
Take a look.
You have to be open to things, but at the same time, it's like
comfort.
Comfort is
key. Well, I know open relationship for me is a hard no.
Right. Hard no. I don't, hard
people
pass.
Know that.
I don't need to like right. feel like I need to be adventurous. It's a hard no. I'm happy with my husband. I'm happy to be with him. I don't want to be with anybody else. I don't care if right. we're in a shithole storm of a life, time where we're like, going through hard matter. Shit or not. I'd rather be with him going through the hard shit than be with anybody else.
Right.
So I can for sure say that it's not for me. So if that's how you feel, then that's
honor how you feel.
Exactly.
Yes, honor how you feel. And also, I'm kind of with Angela on this. Like, it's one trick pony for me. Like, I'm open, yes, 100%, but it's exhausting. I don't, yeah. I'm sorry. You're, I can't like, even.
I will say I felt the same way until I met people who are doing it successfully.
Really?
And it changed everything.
Interesting.
And I would say people that I've met that are doing it successfully have probably what Angela and her husband have. They have a very strong foundation. They have a lot of communication. They trust each other very much so that they're actually taking it to the next level.
But then what about the jealousy part? Like,
I'm a petty
little girl.
That's part of it. That's part of it.
You have such a strong foundation and you have such a good understanding with who you are, just, who
I'm
you
like,
have.
How's your girlfriend?
Exactly.
Open relationships are not for you.
Like, I know.
Period, point blank.
You're an enlightened human being.
Like, that's it.
And I know that, and I'm comfortable with that.
That's okay.
This is a judgment-free zone.
Amen.
100%. Hallelujah. Oh, my gosh, yeah. Well, I'm a hoe, so.
And we're all hoes with you, honey.
We love you. We love your little hoe ass.
Absolutely. This has been an amazing podcast experience. Thank you so much for including all of us in this.
Well, thank you for coming.
We hope you all don't want to fire us after this and that stuff has us back.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening to this crazy episode. We love you and we hope you enjoyed our advice. And we will talk to you soon. All right. Love you.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Love you.
Bye. Bye.
Fuck off.
Bye.
We want to punch him in the face. I was guarding my chancleta.
And I was always like, I might be Hispanic.